Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today, and we're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guests today are Gautam Chowdhury, he's CEO at Medvice.ai, and Sean Ross, COO at Medvice.ai. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's a part of our series of ambient clinical voice interviews and kind of featuring all this, you know, all the companies in this really exciting space. I've often said it's my favorite space right now. There's something exciting happening. But before we dive into your product and your solution, Gautam, why don't you start out? Tell us a little bit about yourself and Medvice.ai.
Yeah, for sure. So prior to this, I was in four different startups, have experience building products from zero to one. Had great success building products, scaling them to million users. So at one point, I started thinking, why not start something on my own? Had my whole family is filled with doctors, my parents' side, my wife's side, everyone are doctors.
Yeah, that's Indian, right? You have to be a doctor or a
doctor. An engineer.
If not, you're out. Yeah, I got you.
You're a doctor or you're an engineer. So
Yeah, so
I started looking into this healthcare space, we saw that it's like there's a lot of efficacy problems and inefficiencies. I started reading about it, and that's when I met Sean as well, back in May of 2023. I met him on an online forum of startups. Prior to him, I met a few other people as well, but when I met him, it was great. We hit off immediately. Sean brought in his thought process along with his he bought his thought processes, and he built a plan before he met me. That's kind of started triggering it. Oh yeah, this is great. Someone who's ready to put in a lot of work along with me. So yeah, that's how it started. The idea started coming up.
Very interesting. Sean, how about yourself?
Yeah, so I, I've just been loving the past 9 years working on this project. Prior to this, I did not work in healthcare, but very familiar with kind of the pain points. And because of that, and Gautam and I not working in healthcare, we always needed kind of that guiding light. But I had had some personal knowledge with my wife about the healthcare systems, and we started talking about pain points, and then we started Medvice, where we knew we wanted to bring our skills and kind of AI computer science into a clinical setting, and we've just kind of been on this wild ride ever since.
Awesome. Well, Gautam, dive in a little bit more. So you met each other. What's the story of going from meeting each other, caring about healthcare, obviously the family perspectives from both of you, to then developing the product and coming to market?
Sounds good. So whenever I used to meet my family or friends, especially during the weekends, they used to talk about how much time they spent away, not working and doing all this EHR stuff and filling out information and dealing with all the billing stuff. They spend a lot of time away from doing, apart from treating patients. So I started thinking now AI is becoming better and better. Every day the AI is becoming more powerful. How do you get AI into healthcare settings? So I started obviously interviewing a lot of doctors, family friends who are doctors, started understanding their pain points, started building a small, formulating what could be possible in healthcare space. That's when I met Sean. Sean also, the first time I met him, he came with like a fully prepared a presentation. He was ready. Like, he was like, oh yeah, this is, he was thinking about in this lines what we could possibly bring into the table. That actually was like interesting to me. Like, I was like, wow, someone was like thinking as well as thinking differently from what I was thinking. So the next day we decided to just form the company. We incorporated the company the next day, and then we started like getting in people. Like, we got a chief medical officer. His name is John. He started giving us ideas on like what he started giving ideas, and he started like telling us the problems with healthcare. He's been in healthcare for the last 40 years. He owns some clinics in North Carolina and Florida, and that's where it started.
Interesting. Sean, what's your side of the story? I guess you were searching for a co-founder. Is that the
Yeah,
story
you know, well, just
already?
kind of looking for the next thing. So I've always been kind of a serial entrepreneur after, you know, spending a good a bit of time in the corporate side of business. And I was prepared to kind of start something already in the medical field around health. And Gotham and I met, and like he said, I kind of just came ready to go, ready to kind of hop on the same thing that he was thinking. And when we launched the product in May, we originally, you know, we're looking at some of the problems being lack of care, lack of care, affordable care. But then when we started to talk to doctors and get more feedback, that's when we kind of learned about the huge documentation problem. But we knew that wasn't enough to kind of build our product. Like having documentation tools have been around for 20 years, right? And scribes and any sort of transcription tools. It's nothing new. But if we could increase the accuracy, and then if we could take it a step further and bring maybe a revenue or an efficiency component for doctors, so they're not have to cognitively think, oh, has this patient gotten this test done already? Let me look through the past 30 records. Or, oh, I need to ask the patient if they feel safe at their home at night, according to CMS. Right? Those are kind of questions that you have to maybe not be on the top of a doctor's head, but you're able to provide with AI. So that's why we kind of wanted to build a tool that's more than just transcription for us and more than an ambient scribe. It's something that's helping doctors do what they do best. And it starts with eliminating the being a data entry kind of person.
Interesting. So how does your solution compare to, you know, there's a dozen plus, you know, in the space now in the clinical
Yeah, no,
world?
they're popping up, and a lot of the EHRs are kind of getting into the space as well.
Yeah,
I
so how does
think,
your solution compare? What's similar? What's different?
what's similar is we're all kind of listening to the patient and the provider have that conversation. There's a lot of variety on what sort of documentation people are providing. Some of the systems are just doing maybe a soap note and a summary. And for in a lot of settings, that's all that's needed. You need the soap to submit to funders, and you want that summary before you review. We want to get capture as much documentation as we can, going from, you know, physical examination to prescription to soap notes and summaries to vitals. And then we're going a step beyond that, and we're providing ICD and CPT codes. So that's just taking more clicks off from the doctors. A lot of times the doctors know what their, you know, five CPT codes that they're billing are. You know, sometimes they even have two CPT codes, and it's not too hard for them to remember what those are. But in a lot of settings, they might have 20, they might have 30, or they want to, you know, bump it up to a level four from a level three. So we're finding out what's that missing documentation. What question do you need to ask? Why can't you bill this CPT code? And using kind of our internal algorithm to figure that stuff out. So that's one of the biggest differences that we're doing for doctors. We want them to walk in the room, press record, speak to their patient, you know, give eye contact, do what they normally do, treat the patient, press save visit, walk out of the room, be done, and not have to spend the next hour kind of looking at their notes. And I briefly touched on it before, but we also kind of have a Q&A ability. So maybe you don't remember what the 1 in 100, you know, patient visit, you know, is about, and what these symptoms might be, or what a disease might be, or what the, you know, just any sort of medical question. If you want to question if you're allergic to a certain type of drug, if you want to look at prior patient data and question it, we want to just give everything as hands-free as possible. And that kind of just is defined in our roadmap as well. It's just, we want to bring AI solutions for doctors and just be more than an ambient scribe.
Interesting. Godden, what would you add? And let's also talk about more of the workflow for the clinician. You know, you talked about, you know, pushing record. Is that on a device? Is that on a desktop? Is it integrated? You know, like, do they do it from the EHR? You talk to us about that workflow as well.
Yep. Adding to whatever Sean said, like, we're actually building our own data structure, which is our proprietary algorithm for CPD and ICD code generation. Getting the accuracy as high as up as like 97-98% of the time. Right now, doctors also like end up having 20% of their claims rejected on a regular basis, like 20% of the claims rejected, right? So with this AI coming in, you might take that person to like 5% of the claims rejected, but that's still like saving a lot of time. It's not the time of doing the CPD ICD codes only, it's about like the time after that, right? Like, it's like you submit these claims. If it gets rejected, you're waiting for months together to get it like passed through.
Sure, absolutely. Or if you're missing the wrong documentation to justify that code, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So right now we are a web app and a mobile app. Soon to be, we are like getting the mobile app as well. So web app, like when the patient walks into the room, the doctor just clicks on the patient and he starts recording the conversation. And doctor does whatever he does the best. And if he has a certain list of review of systems, he says the review systems, like, it's all right. So it fills up the documentation for whatever is good. And he can just have a regular conversation with the doctor or patients. And our AI will drive everything and also like pick up what is important. Like, you can talk about something which is like not relevant to the case, and our AI like obviously doesn't take that into consideration and picks up what's important and puts it into a format that doctor needs. And this information in turn can be pushed into their EHR. So if they have a certain template that they're following in the EHR, we'll push into that particular like columns and.
Gotcha. So and is this fully automated with technology, or are you using some humans in the background? Right. It almost feels like an outdated question, since I think everyone's going fully automated, but let's hear your approach.
Yeah. Right now it's fully automated. We are going fully automated with this generation of speech and pushing it to HR. All these things are automated, but in case, that's what we are doing currently with all our doctors on the platform. And why we bought in the mobile app is like some doctors are not comfortable like walking with a laptop or an iPad inside a room and starting the conversation. And sometimes what happens is like laptop might go into sleep mode or something like that. So they were like, it's more comfortable having a mobile app. So now like we are coming with a mobile app where doctors just walk into the room, start recording the conversation, don't worry about anything, end the conversation, and boom, you have your data filled in your EHR and all the conversions recorded.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, and we've thought about the process too. We know a lot of people are more comfortable, so you need to be 100% right when the settings are on the line, you know, depending on what kind of clinical visit it is. So if a doctor does want a human in the loop, like the old traditional models, we've set up kind of an admin view where there could be a human in the loop on the backside. So, you know, visits created, visits generated, you're good to go. But before we push it to your EHR, if that's what you want to do, or copy paste, we can have a human in the loop, double check everything, make sure everything's looking good, and then push it over. Because you know, AI is pretty awesome, but you don't, you know, some doctors can't afford any, you know, to sit there and look in the notes and double check it for 20 seconds. They need that note to be 100% correct stat, right? And so we'll put a human in the loop to finish it off.
that's interesting. Yeah, and when it comes to the mobile app, I've heard microphones are better on cell phones than they are most desktops, laptops, etc. So it's an interesting part of the evolution. You know, you talked a little bit about EHR integration. Talk to us about how you're approaching that and pushing it to it. Does it work with all EHR? Do you have specific integrations with some? You know, how are you doing that? Maybe Gotham, you can start.
For sure. At this point, like obviously we try to work with all the EHRs which have FHIR setup already done. In case they're a little older, it's a little bit more hassle because all EHRs are obviously different. Even if it's a single, like if you take up like Epic, they have like so many implementations of EHRs. Or like if you pick up like any EHR has like so many other variations of it, and everything is like slightly different. But in at the end of the day, like everything is like API, and we are able to we can integrate with most EHRs which have like the HL7 standards or the FHIR standards. So that's kind of the in short, we work with all EHRs. Yeah.
Gotcha. Anything else you'd add, Sean?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see a little bit of restrictive movement. It's funny, we have these laws passed to open up data,
Yep.
but like I was talking about before, EHRs are all saying, "Hey, we can put in an ambient scribe too." So we're seeing a little bit of a restrictive side from some of these legacy companies saying, "Well, why are you trying to integrate, or why are you trying to push data?" So it's becoming a little more challenging on saying, "Yeah, we're fine with you to push and pull. We built it so you can," and we have had success with a few EHRs. The interesting thing is, if you ask an EHR and say, "Hey, I'd like to interact with you and push and pull my data for kind of this documentation side," there might be a little restriction. But if you say, "Hey, we're integrating, and the main component is our ICD CPT side," they're all for it. They're ready to go, because that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's their bread and butter, is RCM.
Yeah, that's really interesting. How about from the clinician perspective? What's kind of been your experience with clinicians? Like, what do they have to change? You know, we've heard, you know, obviously in this series that they have to articulate what they're thinking and what they're seeing, right? Obviously, it can't
Right,
happen if they're not doing that. And talk to us about your onboarding process too. You know, how do you onboard a new clinician? Do you just throw them into the wild recording, or is there a training process? You know, how do you approach onboarding?
So we if they just want to test this out, so we have a kind of a MedVice Lite module that they could just sign up without speaking to us and then just test it out, and you know, kind of a little bit of prompts, hey, press this button here. Or most people have been able to figure it out and they could kind of just go into the wild. If someone wants to sign up for an account with essentially more than one doctor, a hospital account, we call it, then they need to talk to us. And we generally have been giving them a demo anyways and showing them how everything works. In terms of how a doctor changes their practices, we originally had it set up with no sort of macros, no sort of normals, anything like that. One physician said, well, I use my standards for a lot of things. So we started implementing something like that. But then we started to come upon customers who were previously using, you know, legacy Nuance One or DAX, and they used a lot of shorthand macros. So it's possible for us to kind of take those shorthand macros and implement it. So, okay, you say this, this, and this, it's going to spit out X, Y, Z. It takes a little bit more work. And I think once doctors realize that they don't need to be so shorthanded because they're not dictating anymore, they're just having this conversation and they're going about their practice, we might see those requests kind of change in the future and maybe even see them start to use their macros kind of less and less. And we have been kind of broad as a startup to say, look, we work in the clinical setting. You have a clinical setting. It most likely we can capture the important data for you, but we'll change a little bit of the templates and the information that you need to kind of capture, you know, and make it a little more customizable. So, for example, we spoke to a large radiology group. So they're looking at a lot of different images. They have like kind of 10 different templates that they were looking at. That's not something we originally implemented and say, okay, you know, these are the images that I'm explaining and I'm describing. So there's a good bit of workload there, but it's almost, you know, it's the ability to adapt and change that sort of stuff all becomes pretty easy because in the end they're just speaking freely and we can kind of take that cognitive load off of them.
Interesting. Adam, what would you add and maybe dive into some of the accuracy, you know, to Sean's previous point, you know, when you make a mistake, it's either the more work for the doctor after, or even worse, you know, if it makes it into the record, it could be a problem. So, you know, to extend, you know, the clinician stuff and then talk about how you guys approach and how you measure accuracy of your solution.
Yeah, for sure. But so basically, when it comes to speech to text, we have, like right now, speech to text, we are pretty accurate, right? Like the whole world is at like almost 100% accuracy, especially with like AI understanding most of the technical terms. And our AI is also built on like some of the medical terms, and like it's been trained and like had some extensive training on medical terms. So picking up words is not an issue. The accuracy, what comes is like, obviously with the ICD and CPT code generation, and also like some data, if the data is going to the right bucket according to their wishes, right? Into their current templates. Means it's like a little bit customization required for every doctor right now. Like Sean was saying, every doctor has their own templates and they've been used to some template structure for a long time now. Like for 20 years, they've been doing the same template structure. There's a resistance to change initially. So we're like building templates for them. And they're still using those macros. So macros, like, we're just comparing with the notes of their previously generated, like we are obviously comparing how we are measuring accuracy is like we're comparing the notes generated by AI versus what the notes they're writing, and we're seeing the accuracy. Like I often say that like our AI is better because right now most of the EHR's notes that are there are like garbage. Like they're just copy paste from the previous records, and like you have like 90% of the information that's like just similar. Like if you see the notes that's been written down, like people have become lazy and they've found out shorter ways to write these EHR information. But what happens with ambient is like we are ambient listening is like is basically we are listening to the conversation with the patient and doctor, and doctor is able to concentrate on the patient and worry about the patient more than his EHR note generation, which is what doctor is supposed to do.
It's what they wish they came into med school for.
yeah.
Well, I don't know anyone that likes the minutiae of documentation in their job, right? So I think that's true for doctors. Sean, anything you'd add for accuracy? And talk about specialty. I mean, you kind of alluded to it with the radiology instance. Does this work for every specialty? Is there different accuracy across specialty? Are you just focusing on primary care? How are you doing
Yeah,
that?
so we're kind of mainly our product fits very well with primary care. We're starting to explore different sorts of specialties, but when you start to do that, you go, okay, I need to start training different kind of models or developing different sort of things for certain specialties, and you don't really want to move too away from that. So we kind of have a pretty good idea of where we want to focus on a certain market segment. But anyone that's in the clinical setting that's doing any sort of clinical conversations, it could be an oncologist. They're having a lot of clinical settings. It could be, a pediatrician. It could be, just the family practices. That all fits into something that we're doing, and we're seeing the kind of rapid part of the scribing. The CPT code, what we have built on that aspect is across every specialty. So we have put, we're developing it across the whole board, and we'll see how that might be implemented in a kind of different medium. So that can be broad because it is, every single thing. And we can get that to 100% accuracy if you have to answer a few questions. So if some information's missing, generally we can kind of get it on a handful of questions that the provider would have to answer. And if we can make that, down to one question or two questions, or just, a verbal response on five questions, we can see 100%.
So we are also making sure that the right CPT and ICD codes are used so that you're not overcoding or undercoding, right? So if you're picking a CPT code, you want to make sure that all the data for that CPT code is already recorded or like we have collected it. So we make sure if there's some information missing, we have a questionnaire that comes up saying, oh yeah, can you answer this question? That's like it's all real time. It happens like within 30 seconds of the conversation being done.
Interesting. And can you apply that to a text-based record, or does it have to be a voice record that you pull all that data from?
So information we are collecting after the conversation is done is like text-based. It could be voice-based too, but text, it's just like simple questions. It's like how long was, like same question could be like how long was the conversation?
Sure.
Like we can't just depend on the size of the conversation they had on our platform. It could be something they talk like they might have had a 10-minute conversation before they started the recording as well. So we want the exact number. Like that's an example I'm giving you. So it's like typing in two couple of numbers into the text field.
Interesting.
But yeah, like we have to be accurate, we need to make sure we have all the data. So And this data is only possible if we collect all the making sure we collect the right data for every CPT code.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like an AI coach for billing. It's pretty interesting. It makes sense. I think we've seen that as I've interviewed a lot of the people, that ambient clinical voice is just the beginning. Whether it's the billing, whether it's clinical decision support, whether it's ACO value-based care guidelines, those are all going to be integrated into the experience, I think, as we move forward. Well, I appreciate you all taking time to share this with us. It's interesting you mentioned there's a demo people can get. I'm sure that's what people are going to want to know about and get their hands on it themselves. Where can people go to learn more and, obviously get a demo?
Yeah, they could go to our website, medvice.ai, and just click with a sign up button and enter a phone number. And they'll get set up with a free account and not have to reach out. But if they want, they can also always email us at info@medvicecorp.com. They can give us a call, 727-222-4521. We'll pick up. And they, or they can fill out a contact form on our website. But we're happy to talk to kind of any doctor, anyone in the medical field at any time. We love learning about kind of the pain points that they have or the solutions that they're trying to solve. And, we talk to a lot about what our flow looks like, but I just wanted to touch on one point. There's been a lot of requests too, and we're always open for people just to integrate MedVice kind of in the background of whatever they're built. And we're seeing a lot of success there too. So, if someone's more on the technical side and looking for kind of integrations, we're happy to discuss that as well.
Awesome. Gautam, any final thoughts?
Yeah, and you can probably look at our YouTube pages for like demos. We have a MedVice AI YouTube page. We'll keep coming up with content there. You'll find what new releases we have. We have like releases like every couple of weeks, which we bring out to the market. So, feel free to contact us. Like, like Sean mentioned, like just go on our website. It's very easy to contact us. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you, Gautam, that now your friends will get out of the office quicker so they can spend more time hanging out with you, right? I think that was why you designed
that's the hope.
That's awesome. I appreciate you both taking time to share about MedVice.ai and sharing all your approach to solving these challenging problems. And thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.